97.5 The Fanatic.
What's going on, y'all? 97.5 The Fanatic, 1016 in the post, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. Sixers fall tonight. Scotiabank Arena in Toronto, 107.95. I'm Devon Gibbons with you until midnight. Josh Ravick producing the show. Great work by Tyler Zuli, as always. Engineering the Sixers broadcast, Brian Seltzer as well with his pre- and post-game coverage. Tom McGinnis on the game call. Not so much on the floor, unfortunately, for the 76ers as they drop 29-17 on the season. Next on the floor on Saturday as they host the Los Angeles Lakers, 8:30 tip right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. So, tough one tonight because it started off that way where you had Josh Richardson out early due to an injury where he played 3 minutes and 52 seconds when he pulled up with a injury holding his leg, hammy, out for the remainder of the game. And oftentimes, you know, that means something could be long term. He was questioned about it post game in the locker room. I was reading Keith Pompey's tweet, and with that, he simply responded he wasn't going to talk tonight. He'll speak tomorrow after they have an opportunity to look at it a little more tomorrow morning and give the update of what the significance is of the injury. So we'll all be waiting to see what that is, because you're already without Joel Embiid. You do not want to be out without your other guard who can play so many roles for this team. Obviously, as a shooting guard, strictly, where he does the things that he does, but also as that guy who takes a lot of responsibility off of Ben Simmons or simply runs with Ben Simmons and allows Ben Simmons to play off the ball where he can play in that pick and roll game with Josh Richardson as that secondary ball handler. So that's going to be something we'll keep our eye on tomorrow, keep our ears open as well to get a sense of what is going on with Josh Richardson after the hamstring injury tonight that caused him to only play 3 minutes and 52 seconds. Got off to a hot start, as we all know, in the first quarter, up 35-26, scorching hot from behind the three-point line, 7-14 for the team, 14 of 25 from the field for them, 4 turnovers in the first quarter, 2 of them by Ben Simmons. You knew the shooting display that they were putting up there was not going to last the entire game. Not like that. Cool off a little bit, pick up a little bit later again, sure. But it just simply was not going to be that way the entire night. There was just no way it was going to be that. And losing Josh Richardson, that's also a point there. So you look at Furkan Korkmaz with 2 of those threes in the first quarter. Shake Milton, who came in a reserve role for Josh Richardson, he knocked down 2 of 3. Each, Tobias Harris, Al Horford, and Mike Scott each with 1 three-pointer in that first quarter as well, totaling the 7 that we're speaking of. And they had it rolling. And they did not get to the free throw line because a lot of this stuff, again, was from the outside. The turnovers, they were what they were. The second quarter is really what hurt the Sixers because they shot 21%. While they were hot, 50% from deep and 56% from the field, 21% from the floor, 22% from behind the three-point line, 2 of 9. Getting to the free throw line, yes, but they also, again, turned the ball over 5 more times in that quarter, totaling 9 for the first half to the 6 for the Toronto Raptors. They allowed them back in the game, right? They allowed them back in the game, and at the end of 2, 50-50. Tobias Harris with 11, Ben Simmons with 10, Furkan Korkmaz with the same 8 points that he had after 1, same for Shake Milton, at the end of the first half. And when you got to the third quarter, while they only lost it by 4, you already put yourself behind the 8 ball, and losing it in the fourth quarter by 8, you saw it, you heard it, the stretches that they had, they were up, come back, down 2, biggest lead, the Raptors were up in this game. As we looked at everything, the biggest lead that they had was 13. The Sixers had a 14-point lead in the first half. Once they gave it up and the Toronto Raptors took it, they never got it back. this tough stuff here, certainly without Josh Richardson, you can you know, withstand missing one of your starters. You have four left. Then you miss two. And the impact that Josh Richardson has on the starting unit and, of course, the entire team really hurt them down the stretch. Ben Simmons had what looks like a nice number. 17 points, 5 of 7 from the floor, 7 of 9 from the free throw line. He continues to have a good run from the free throw line, so we cannot complain about that. 10 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals in 37 minutes and 58 seconds. The problem, 8 turnovers. He's been keeping his turnovers down to a minimum. The team has been keeping their turnovers down to a minimum. The team overall had 13 as a team. He had 8. All right? 8 turnovers tonight. That's not going to get it done. Once again, you're the best player on your team. Arguably the best player in the game. Kyle Lowry had something to say about that. And as much as you have been playing well, you knew this was going to be a tough stretch, a tough opponent who has defended you well in the past, and you may not score 34 points. You may not score 28 points. But what you cannot do and what you can control is the amount of turnovers that you give to the other team. You give them these turnovers, they have opportunities to get out into the open floor, get some fast break opportunities. They had 20 fast break points off 8 of 11 shooting from the field. You cannot give up 8 turn. You're already undermanned with Embiid out and now Josh Richardson out. You're asking a lot of Shake Milton to give you 22 minutes and 31 seconds where he shoots 3 of 10 from the floor. Simmons had to be better protecting the basketball when they needed him most tonight. We gave him the credit over the last few games. He was player of the week last week, deservingly so. Tonight, not a good one. The 17-10-8, that's a good number. Not good enough, again, when you give up the ball 8 times, and as we've seen, being very aggressive, going to the basket. So while he's 5 or 7 from the floor, we're cool with the 9 free throws and converting 7, so we can't complain too much. But here's where the complaint comes in. While he may not have shot the ball 8 times to total potentially 16 points, let's say he was perfect with those 8 shot attempts, give yourself a chance. Give your teammates a chance. Give them an opportunity to get the ball up to the basket, second chance opportunities, a simple basket in the first place from the first attempt, whatever it might be. The 8 turnovers really help. I hurt, obviously, with Josh Richardson not being out there on the floor. Al Horford playing well lately. 7 points on 3 of 11 shooting, 1 of 6 from deep, 10 rebounds, 7 assists. Those two sound great, but 7 points, playing well in the first half, like everyone did in the second half when they needed everybody to continue that play, maybe elevate their game a little bit while others dipped off for a little. You didn't get what you thought you should have gotten from Al Horford, only contributing 7 points tonight. Matisse Thybulle, foul trouble early. Crafty Kyle Lowry getting him in foul trouble. 13 points for Matisse Thybulle, 3 of 9 from deep, but he's still struggling from behind the 3-point line. The way he was stroking it, the ball, right, from behind the 3-point line before the injury, since he's come back, his defense has been phenomenal. He never gives up. You're right. He always plays with the most effort out there on the floor outside of Ben Simmons. Gives you that effort every single time up and down the floor. The 3-point shot not falling. Yes, he had 2 back-to-back ones, but he also had a couple where you looked at them where he was a little off balance, a little rushed. And just because Brett Brown decides he wants to hoist 3 and still chase those 3-pointers and everything that he says, they shot 46 3-pointers, y'all. Some of them, as Tyler is engineering the game, watching Josh Rabick producing the show, we're all in here discussing things either together or, you know, one-on-one, whatever it might be. 46 is a lot because when you look at some of the possessions, you're saying to yourself, I get that you were hot. Some of these were not very good. Some of these were rushed. And while they shot themselves into the lead that they had to give a 14-point lead in the first half, specifically in the first quarter, they shot themselves out of it later on as well. And while you have the confidence, while you still want to hunt, as Brett Brown said post-game, those threes, and had Tyler Zuli shaking his head, you have to be aware of what else is going on when you are making them. The defenders are flying by. The ball fake, the step in for two. Drive to the basket for two. Ball movement again. Keep it flowing. Keep it flowing because you were knocking down the jumpers. Have to be better there. And I'm glad Raheem just called in because he wants to talk about the Sixers lineup tonight at times. Frustrated with the lineup at times. Also undermanned with no Josh Richardson and forced to play Shake Milton a little bit. Howell Neto played 253. James Ennis, once again, not getting that run that we thought he would with Brett Brown. Brett Brown deciding to go in a different direction. Curious to see what happens with James Ennis and how this all plays out, because Brown just simply is not happy with whatever James Ennis is giving him or not giving him, and that's why he's not playing. And Brown was trying to find different rotations to and different lineup combinations to have out there on the floor. James Ennis, pardon me, 5 minutes and 43 seconds. James Ennis out there on the floor for a little bit of time. Brett Brown's trying to find these rotations, find these things that will work best for them right now as they are on demand. And it's really not an excuse because they do still have Simmons as an all-star, Harris as a borderline all-star, Al Horford, a glue type of guy. You still have three. And Matisse Thybulle playing the defense and giving yourself an opportunity to get in the open floor, they had to be better. Had to be better. Even with that being said, I'm not going to lose my mind with this loss because they were undermanned. They had opportunities that you thought they would be in it. This simply is not that type of team to overcome those injuries, which could lead to a larger point down the line as the trade deadline is now 15 days away in the NBA. What do the Sixers do? We hear in Derrick Rose, J.J. Redick, Robert Covington, Bogdan Bogdanovic from Sacramento. Other names that could potentially be out there the Sixers might be interested in. Someone called earlier about Alec Burks from the Golden State Warriors. They might be a preference for you for what the Sixers need. They need a few things, right? Because things like this could potentially pop up for you where injuries happen. And if we see the good stuff, the stretch of Al Horford for a few games, and then we get something like this, we'll see how he rebounds against the Los Angeles Lakers on Saturday and see where that trend might be for this 33-year-old player that you committed a lot of money to a few years. He's going to play. Very hard contract to move. He's going to be out there. So you have to get used to that. And then when Embiid does come back, you're once again having to get used to another type of lineup where they have to find out a way to play with him once again. Or if they're playing well, he has to find out a way to blend with them and not mess up things. But we'll get there when we get there. Right now, a lot to talk about with tonight's game. Sixers falling 107-95. Raptors improved to 30-14, while the Sixers dropped to 29-17, led by Tobias Harris's 22 points. Next up, Simmons and Furkan Korkmaz with 17 each. Matisse Thybulle 13, Al Horford 7, as Josh Richardson only plays 3 minutes and 52 seconds due to a hamstring injury. Led by Fred VanVleet, who got hot late for the Toronto Raptors, tied for the game high with Tobias Harris, Pascal Siakam, and Norman Powell with 18. You get that type of production off the bench. That's fantastic for any team. 34 points between two as Serge Ibaka gives you 16, as well as Kyle Lowry 16. 17 for Marc Gasol in the game as well, where he was perfect from the floor and from the three-point line. 3 of 3, 7 of 7 overall. Tough loss, but you can kind of see it coming where it doesn't have you losing your mind. But let's discuss it. 610-632-0975. Sixers fall to 29-17, losing 107-95 to the Toronto Raptors as the Sixers have a few days off. Hopefully, Josh Richardson is okay and it's not too much of a problem for them as they go forward. Sixers back in the sixth spot, tied with the Indiana Pacers in the games behind column at 10.5. Now a game and a half behind the Boston Celtics. 610-632-0975. Guys, we'll get you as soon as we get back. This is In the Post until midnight. Josh Rabick producing. I'm Devon Givens here on The Fanatic.
The Fanatic.
The Fanatic in the Post. Devon Givens with you. Josh Raby producing the show. Going until midnight, 610-632-0975 as the 76ers fall, 107-95. Not going to lose my mind, but you can see again where some of the issues crop up in the losses. Don't overreact, but we need to talk about them because they are there and you want them as close to perfect as possible as they continue on with the season. Trade deadline in 15 days. So we talk about what happened tonight. Sixers fall 107-95, 610-632-0975. Josh Richardson played only 3 minutes and 52 seconds due to what looks like a hamstring injury, as said by the team. And we'll find out more about the severity of his injury tomorrow based off of the questions that he took in the locker room but not wanting to answer how it happened in the first half. And we'll hopefully just not get too much bad news about, because they cannot afford to go down another starter in their starting lineup. 610-632-0975. We'll dive deeper into things as we go along, but we have to start off on the phones in Germantown in the Post. Adam, right here on 97.5. What's up, Adam?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Devon.
Always, man. Thanks for making it.
I really thought the Sixers would get blown out of this game. And if someone told me Josh Richardson was going to go down or 3 minutes in, I would have said they're really going to get blown out of this game.
Right.
But I have to say, because I watched the condensed game of Toronto playing somebody pretty good the other day, and I said, this team is the champions. They want to prove they can win without Kawhi Leonard.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they are going to. So it's just my opinion, but I think they're better than Milwaukee. I think they're better than the Clippers. I think they're better than the Lakers. And, I mean, maybe Utah is that unsung team that's going to make it to the finals. I like the way they're playing, but I doubt it.
I like Toronto as well. We spoke about them early in the season, Adam, where, of course, we were previewing the East and saying the Sixers should be up the top, Milwaukee should be up the top, but you can't ignore Toronto because they're a prideful team. They are the defending champions, and they know how to win. They've been in tough situations before. And you're right, man. They are still pretty good things. You know, the problem was when we see them play the Sixers, because that's when we see them most often, is some of the things that they were doing just simply looked too easy. You know what I mean? They were getting too many easy looks, too many easy opportunities to drive to the basket, too many second chance points opportunities, too many offensive rebound. They had 20, they had 8 just like the Sixers did, but it seems like theirs, I don't know why, it just seems like it hurt them more. They had 14 second chance points than the Sixers. They're defending champs. They're prideful, as you pointed out. And just, you're right. They're going to be pretty good. They're going to be a tough out in the playoffs.
They are going to be a tough out. I don't think they're going to be out. And just remember how they won the championship last year. Once Van Vliet got going,
yeah,
when his wife had the baby and everything calmed down for him in his mind, they went crazy
on the offensive
glass with Ibaka, Gasol, and Van Vliet knocking down threes. But I just want to say this last thing. When it comes to the Sixers, Josh Richardson now has missed almost as many games as Embiid. It's getting old. Real old. Now, whatever's wrong with him now, whether it's hamstring or I forget what the last type of injury was, but it seems to me that he misses these occasional games over and over and over, and they miss his defense even more than his offense. So if he's not going to be around consistently, then you better get rid of him.
Listen, thanks, man. Appreciate it. You need him to be available. The way this roster is built, it's tough to miss someone like him for an extended period of time. And while they were able to do so early on, Joel Embiid was, in fact, around, and you still have your best player overall. Josh Richardson getting hurt is not ideal. You hope that it's not something that we have to worry about going forward, where you look at him and he's just like a fragile guy, because he is that important on the defensive end for what the 76ers do. You're absolutely right with that, Adam. Now, in terms of trading him, I think it's a little bit too soon to even get a sense of if he's going to be an injury-prone type of guy. He plays hard. This was a freak thing. And the same thing that happened before. Well, I think it was, I don't want to make up an injury and say why he missed. I can't remember exactly what it was early on in the season that caused Josh Richardson to miss that time early on in the season when he was out for a bit. But it was a real injury. So I can't get all crazy about that happening. As I try to look it up really quickly early on in the season to see exactly what it was. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Raheem in Wilmington next on In the Post. What's going on, man?
Hey, Brian, thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
Listen, man, the rotation that Brett Brown had going, I mean, you take the second quarter from the 9-minute mark down to about the 6-minute mark. He put that lineup in there, Paley and Neto and Scott and Korkmaz and the other guy from the bench. I think it was Shake.
Shake, yeah.
And he did the same thing in the fourth quarter, around the 9-minute mark down to the 6-minute mark. He had the bench in there. You know who Toronto played?
Mm.
Their top five. Yeah, they might have had one of their starters on the bench. But I will tell you that is unacceptable. It is complete. It doesn't make any sense. You got to at least have one or two of your starters with these guys. And Al Horford was missing for quite some time. But having said that, Devon, here's something I want to throw at you and see what you think. You know how the analytics are now, right, with the plus-minus,
yes,
right, for all the players.
Mm-hmm.
So when will the analytics be applied to the coach? Huh? Think of that, right?
How so?
Yeah, well, I mean, if I'm going to apply the analytics to the coach and based on what the coach has done through the course of the game, no different than the player, then I'm going to give Brett Brown a minus 10. I'm giving him a minus 10 this game,
mm-hmm,
on his rotation. I mean, because the rotation, I was screaming, and a lot of people on social media on Facebook and social media in general was like, no, what is this? For that extended period.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah, Tobias came in. He was the first one to come back in, and he didn't put a wave of the regular rotation guys back in at the same time. I get it, man. Again, it was tough for him with the rotations tonight, but you're right. Sometimes you're going to have to lean on your main guys to get it done, especially when they have their main guys out there. So he dropped the ball. And yeah, listen, you know I'm not the biggest fan. I give credit where credit is due with what he's done over the past couple of seasons, but you know I'm not the biggest fan, and I question some things that he does. So if you want to go analytics and go minus 10 for him, I have no argument for you there.
Okay. All right. I appreciate it, man.
You got it. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975. Lance, hang on. We'll pick things up with you on the other side as the 76ers fall tonight, 107-95 to the Toronto Raptors in Scotiabank Arena in Toronto, led by Tobias Harris's 22 points on 7 of 18 shooting. Sixers shot 46 three-pointers tonight, making 39%. Shot them very well early. They hurt the team late. 610-632-0975. We keep it going. On the other side, Lance will kick things off when we get back right here in the Post, 97.5 The Fanatic.
We'll be right back. 97.5, The Fanatic.
15th straight win here in Toronto against the Sixers. Van Fleet for three, and that'll do it. 2:03 to go. Freddie Van Fleet for three. And the Raptors lead by 10. Timeout Sixers.
15 straight in Toronto. That does not sound good. Welcome back in the post, 610-632-0975. And even though Devon Givens here, Josh Rabick producing the show as well, we're with you until midnight. Even though the Sixers made an effort to come back and they got it to within three, I believe it was late. Matisse Thybulle hit a couple of buckets, three-pointers to close the gap, and Toronto could not really spread things out and separate themselves from the Sixers. Tyler and I, you know, while Josh was cutting up some of the audio because it was getting in fast, Tyler and I were standing there together watching for a second. We looked at each other after one of the buckets by the Raptors, and we were like, yeah, the game's over. You know, the game's over. And this was early on where we said, yeah, game's over. So it just played out that way for the 76ers tonight. 610-632-0975 next up. For the 76ers, the Los Angeles Lakers, who took down the New York Knicks tonight, 100-92 at Madison Square Garden. So they're coming off of a win. They'll be well rested, I believe, as I want to say. Let me make sure before we go to Adam. No, they have a game before they play the 76ers. That is tomorrow. They play back to back. They're New York tonight, Brooklyn tomorrow against the Nets. And then we'll see them with one day of rest as we see them at the center on Sunday, Saturday, 8:30 here on 97.5. 610-632-0975. And my Phoenix Suns are getting rocked right now. So we'll just go to the phones as we get ready to speak to my man Lance in Arizona next on The Fanatic. What's going on, Lance?
Hey, Devon. So a couple of things. One, with Al Horford, he's 25 of his last 100 from three-point land. Mm. So at some point in time, they need to get to that he's shooting too many threes. I think Thybulle shot too many threes tonight. He had nine. And to me, that's way more than what you want him shooting. But this also then brings me to Josh Richardson. I look at his contract. Next year is his last year because he's going to use that player option. He's going to go out of it at 2021, 2022. He's only going to make $11 million.
Yes.
If somebody's going, he's going to opt out. So you're going to have to either pay him or you're going to lose the value of that contract. So right now I look at it, I want to get rid of Al Horford. I don't want him. I don't think he's a good fit. I don't think he's the player that they thought he was going to be. Going forward, that contract's going to get worse. If I could package, and I know people are going to say, oh, he's smoking that out there, but that's, you have to give something to get rid of that contract, and it's going to hurt you at some point in time, that contract, when you want to do something, because they're not meshing the way that you think they would mesh, mm-hmm. even taking this game out. So if you do that, Josh Richardson and Al Horford, you can move them as a package to get a good player in here that fits your team better. It might benefit you because that value of Josh Richardson's contract is right now.
It might be. It might be, unfortunately, for the team the way they put it together, but you know what? This would be a great job by Elton Brand if none of this has gotten out, if he was even thinking that. But I just don't see where that will really happen. That would have to be something in the offseason.
I don't think it would happen either.
Yeah, it would happen in the offseason.
Yeah, but hypothetically, if you're looking at matching contracts, like if you went to the Bulls, I don't think the Bulls would take Al Horford, but maybe they would. But hypothetically, this is what you could get back. You can get back LaVine if they're tired of him and want to get rid of him, and you could get someone like Thaddeus Young coming back for Richardson and Horford. I would do that trade in a second because I need guys that can shoot the basketball, even though I don't really like Zach LaVine. I think he's a better fit than any of those guys that we're giving up. And you get Thaddeus Young that can come off the bench and be your sixth man that's good enough to give you about 12 to 15 points consistently off your bench.
Yeah. How would Zach LaVine fit with this, with his style of play one-on-one?
The problem is, at least I have a scorer right now when I can't score. Like that to me, that's what I saw tonight. You don't have enough consistent scoring to win games. This is the problem. They set it up to be a defensive team, and you're going to grind it out, and you're going to beat the other team. Here's the problem. When you get to the playoffs, other teams have better scoring than you. You might be a little bit better defensively, but you have to play elite defense every single night to win. And I think that's just going to run you down to the point of where you're seeing guys get easier layups against better teams, better shots, because you're just going to be so run down by that point in time because you don't have scoring to keep up with them. To me, it's a flawed way to try to win, to be the best defensive team, because right now, teams are just, you can't consistently score. You're going to have issues in the NBA.
Well, listen, man, we'll find out soon. And it's tough for us to sit there and look at what they did over the last four, winning their last four in a row, losing the way they did tonight. And we have to go back to where we were in terms of, uh-oh, here they go again kind of thing. But this might be who they are, man. And conversation's warranted. I'm not losing my mind over tonight's loss, Lance. Thanks for the call. Because the injury to Josh Richardson, no Embiid. The shooting was there for you early, and just as much as threes can pull you into the game, they can shoot you right out of the game, and that's what they did, especially in the second quarter where they were only able to put together 15 points, 24 to 15, 2 of 9 in the third, in that quarter, and they relied too much on a three where the Toronto Raptors had 11 made field goals. They also had 2 of 9 from three, but they also made some of their two-point opportunities. 11 made field goals on 24 shot attempts, while the Sixers 4 of 19, the second quarter, problem quarter for the 76ers. 610-632-0975 in the post. Mitch and Rob, hang on, guys. We come back and we continue with this breakdown of the game tonight, where it seems like, you know, not happy people. Even though they were undermanned, Josh Richardson going down early, foul trouble for Matisse Thybulle early, had a big lead, up 14. They let it go. And they can never really overcome things against the Raptors, losing their 15th again in a row, snapping a two-game win streak on the road. Hopefully they can get back on track against the Los Angeles Lakers on Saturday and get some good news about Josh hamstring. Josh, I wanted to say something about his hamstring, and I called him Josh hamstring because why? The earlier injury in the early in the season was an injury to his right hamstring, the tightness. This one tonight, it was the left hamstring, I believe. So we'll see where he is. He said he never had a hamstring injury before. Now he has one to both legs in this first run with the Sixers. 610-632-0975. Mitch and Rob, we get to you when we get back in the post here on the Fanatic.
The Fanatic.
Three straight turnovers for the Sixers. Siakam at midcourt over to Lowry. 3 minutes to go. The Raptors can tie with a three, and Gasol trying to do exactly that, and he does. Mark Gasol has had a hand in the last 7 points for Toronto.
Yeah, that one down the stretch in that quarter, man. Those three turnovers, bad for the 76ers. They cannot afford the eight overall by Ben Simmons. And while the number was low in terms of turnovers for the team on the night at 13-8 by your star player Ben Simmons, who we were waiting to see what he looked like tonight against the Toronto Raptors, not so good. Welcome back to In the Post, 610-632-0975. Josh Rabick producing. Devon Givens, we're both with you until midnight here on 97.5. The Fanatic Sixers back at it on Saturday, 8:30 game. You'll hear it, of course, right here on 97.5, The Fanatic. Primetime action on a Saturday night. All eyes on the Sixers and Lakers. And by the way, a programming note, starting at 7 o'clock after Pat Egan on Saturday, it will be Sixers and 60 with Brian Seltzer and me. We'll be with you from 7 to 8:30 as we go into Sixers basketball right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Get excited!
So always exciting, Josh, to have Sixers and 60 back. We thank D. Lineham for filling in last week. And Brian will step in back into the chair live from the center, people, at 7 o'clock right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. So just a heads up, if you're going down to the center and Brian and I will be there, stop by, say hello, and talk some Sixers with you from the center as they get ready for LeBron James and Anthony Davis and crew to come in. See what happens. Hopefully Josh Richardson is available to play. I'm going to say he's not. 610-632-0975. Josh Hamstring, as we affectionately call him now. Mitch in Phoenix next. What's up, Mitch?
How you doing, buddy?
How you doing?
Good.
Greg, why would the coach play Shake Milton over Trey Burke? What's going on between those two?
I don't know. I don't know. And I didn't hear post-game if he said anything. Josh, I don't know if you heard him say anything specifically post-game about why Shake. Maybe he just felt like Shake a little bit bigger, something to go with them defensively, play maybe a little bit better than Trey Burke. I don't know.
Well, I've watched every Sixer game this year, and I've watched Trey Burke numerous times when he did play. I've never seen him have a bad performance.
Trey Burke?
Yeah.
He's had his moments where he wasn't that good.
Well, Shake Milton, come on. He's a D-leaguer for life. Give me a break. And also, don't you think guys like Knox and Smith over at the Knicks could use a change of scenery?
I've always been a Dennis Smith guy, so you're asking the right person for that question. Yes, Kevin Knox. I'm not sure what their plans are for him either. New York is a bad situation for anybody, right? So anybody with some talent needs to get out of there. But Dennis Smith, of course, for me, that's always a yes. He needs to find an opportunity where it works out for him. And yeah, I actually thought, Mitch, that Dallas was the perfect place for him because Rick Carlisle is a very good coach. It did not work out, so that says a lot about Dennis Smith right there, and then just being in a bad situation in New York. He needs to redeem himself. So we'll see, man. I don't know. I haven't heard anything about those two players being moved, but things can definitely escalate once we get there in a couple of weeks, 15 days away.
Well, they're definitely not getting minutes, and both of those guys went 9 in the draft in their respective years.
Yeah, so but you know how that goes, man. You know how that goes. I mean, yes, that's where you are at that time, but it doesn't mean you'll be there later on, and maybe it's just that they are not what we thought they were. Thanks for the call, and it's funny that you say that because we were talking about something that we could potentially do tomorrow, Joe Torti and Tyler Zuli and I tomorrow, from 7 to midnight after Anthony Gargano and his show, Cuz's Corner from Parks Casino. We might have something in along the lines of that conversation that you just put out there. So we'll see. 610-632-0975. Trey Burke versus Shake Milton. I'm not sure. Now, I'll say this real fast about Trey Burke and Joao Neto, where we go with the whole thing as Mitch talks about Shake Milton over Trey Burke. I don't think, and I've said this before, but I just want to say it again because the questions come in, why one over the other? Joao Neto actually played okay the other day when he was on the floor with Ben Simmons as the role man. I don't think either one of those players are really going to make that much of a difference in the long run as the primary backup for Ben Simmons. That role is really Josh Richardson. And based on who they might get going forward or not, we shall see. But I'm not going to lose my mind over those two and why one gets one over the other. Heard Bob Cooney say that he likes to, Brett Brown, go with maybe a 10-game stretch where he evaluates players and lineups and things of that nature. So maybe he's doing the exact same thing with them, with those two, where he's giving one a 10-game run, see how it goes, the other a 10-game run. But now what you're getting is injuries and forcing Joao Neto to play with Shake Milton. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know, but I don't think, I'm not really going to say I don't think, I know that they're not. Are we really saying they're championship contending backup point guards, really? I'd bet no. I really would bet no. 610-632-0975. Back to the phones we go. Rob in the Poconos in the Post. What's up, Rob?
Yeah, what's up, Devon?
How you doing, man?
I'm good. I just want to talk about what I feel like I've been watching. Like, it's not just the Toronto game tonight, even though there were the injuries. Like, Embiid still out, and Josh had a pull his hamstring yet again and stuff. But it's just, like, every year, like, back 2 years ago and stuff, it was we needed more shooters, so we got Brett Brown and Ben Simmons more shooters.
Can you? You kind of fading a bit, Rob. Can you speak a little bit better into the phone?
Yeah. All right. like 2 years ago, we got more shooters. Or, like, right
Bellinelli
now.
And Ilyasova.
Yep. And what happened? Utterly outcoached by Brad Stevens. And then last year, it was Boone DeLaCosa. Well, we got Jimmy Butler. It was the same result, the second round outing. And then now we get more defensive help and more, like, an extra big play when Joel's not there. It looks like just the league is crammed up and stuff. And also, like, playing Neto over Cyberg, what has Neto really done in his career?
Well, he hasn't had the same career as Trey Burke, but Trey Burke is in the situation that he is in as being picked up in late August as a free agent pickup. So it's not as if he's that much of a difference maker either. They're depth people at this point to see which one works best. And right now, he's going with Trey. He's going with Raul Neto. Did Trey Burke really do much during his stretch where you felt like he needed these? He deserves these minutes.
I feel like Trey Burke, though, off a reputation with. He's had nights where he's dropped like 40.
Yeah, 30. He has. Yeah.
And stuff. When has Neto ever done that?
They're different players.
They are different players, but my thing is, we need a punch off the bench when at times Brett Brown is playing a lineup of Neto, Shake Milton, or Courtmaz, and it's like Scott and Norvell Pelt, and nobody can really create their own shot on that bench. So why don't throw Trey Burke in? He's somebody that could create his own shot for that team. You know what I'm saying?
I get that. I absolutely get that, man. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it, Rob. I certainly get that, man. I mean, I can't deny that part of it. It's just that this is... I'm really not going to be losing it over... I can't lose it over Trey Burke and Raul Neto. Yes, Trey Burke is more of a scoring guard, and you do need that punch off the bench. No denying that. And when we start talking about Derrick Rose as a possible pickup, certainly we're talking about that because the guy can come in and give you buckets. Flat out. Buckets. I get it. If that's what you want. But guess what? They might need a bucket getter. They might need a backup point guard in general. Or it's the shooter that we talk about. Heck, they better figure out something with Norvell Pell, and he didn't look that great tonight. You didn't get any Jonah Bolden, and you didn't get any Kyle O'Quinn. 610-632-0975. In the post with Devon Givens, Josh Rabick here with you until midnight. Sixers fall to the Raptors 107-95. Lost 15 in a row to this team. In Toronto, 610-632-0975. We go back to it. Julian in Philly. Next on 97.5, the Fanatic in the Post. What's up, Jules?
Hey, what up, D?
How you feeling, man?
I'm doing good. I hope all is going well in your recovery process.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, I know you said you aren't dwelling on it, but I really do think we need a better backup point guard.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not over those two. So in the meantime, when Neto and Burke are we're fighting over who should get those minutes when it's really Josh Richardson until they get someone else in here.
Yeah, and that's how I feel too, because Josh Richardson, he basically played point guard for the Heat. You know, a lot of people, you know, don't
watch
a lot of Heat games, so they don't know that. You know, basketball people like you and myself, we know that he can play point guard. He can make his own shot. He's a good ball handler.
I'm not going to say he can play point guard. I'm just simply say he can handle the responsibility for limited minutes when need be.
No, yeah, that's what I mean. I'm not saying, you know, he's going to be Kyrie Irving at point guard.
Right. Okay.
You know,
okay.
He's a capable point guard, backup point guard. And why aren't we giving Mario Šajak a shot? I just looked at his stats a little bit ago. He's averaging 23 points a game, 5 rebounds, and 3 assists, you know. If that doesn't scream potential for the NBA, I don't know what else more he could do.
That's their evaluation of they feel like he may not be ready just yet. That's all I can go off because I'm going off just as much as you. Now, I can ask around and find out why not yet, but as of right now, if we're just guessing, I'm guessing that that's the answer. They just simply don't feel like he's ready as of right now.
Yeah, because, you know, we had that guy, he's in Detroit now, the forward, Christian Wood.
Yeah,
we had him for a while in our G League. Yeah. He was doing pretty good. Not a fan. You don't like him?
No, I liked him at UNLV as a potential keep my eye on when they were doing their rebuild. I haven't seen anything in the NBA where I feel like I need to see him with the Sixers. I still get annoyed when I watch him. He annoys me.
I'm not saying he's an NBA All-Star, but...
No, I know what you're saying.
He's playing right now in the league. You know, I don't want Shayok to miss out on that, and we could...
He's playing in the league for the Detroit Pistons, so I'm not...
I get it, but...
Yeah, that team sucks.
If Mario Shaq's putting up numbers like that, and he's a 6'6", lengthy guy that we could use, I really would like to see him up here.
All right. Listen, man, Mario Shaq can shoot. He can put the ball on the floor a little bit. Can he do it at this level? I'm not sure. Would love to see it. Thanks for the call, Julian. He was only up here, I think, for one day. So he has a lot of time where they've already exhausted all of their allotted time, the days, the 45 with the Sixers for Norvell Pell. Mario Shayok has plenty of time. And maybe if they don't do anything with the trade deadline and as they try to figure out the buyout period, maybe they will go that route. But as of right now, I guess they're just not ready to bring him up. 610-632-0975. We go to my man B in Plymouth Meeting on 97.5 in the Post. What's happening, Brian?
Get some G League talk out of the way.
Let's get some G League talk out of the way. We can get into Derrick Rose, why you and D-Lineham don't want him. Let's go.
Okay. Well, I mean, as I said to the producer, though, I mean, Neto and Trey Burke are just like guys. I mean, they're basically on the players on the same level.
Yes.
Same as like with TJ McConnell. It's just Neto is kind of like a classic point guard where he knows how to get his guys the ball in space. He's looking to set up his teammates, and he's not. Doesn't play any defense whatsoever.
Nope.
And Trey Burke is a score first point guard who doesn't play any defense whatsoever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like two flavors of generic ice cream.
That's it.
But, I mean, you know, and I hit you up on Twitter yesterday about the D-Rose thing. Like, it's completely crazy to me to have a high usage mid-range gunner on a team where everybody is complaining about the spacing. That's not what we need. I mean, you know, and just the fact that he doesn't even want to leave Detroit, like he's perfectly comfortable putting up numbers on a bad to mediocre team. And
yeah,
he wants to be in the Midwest. I mean, you know, you know, I never like to get into people's, you know, personal stuff, but I mean, he had that, you know, maybe he just wants to be somewhere close to Chicago or wherever his stuff is. So the fact that he doesn't want to go anywhere, that tells you all you need to know if you're looking to add to a contender to put us over the top. Like, you know, his heart's not going to be in it to play a little bit of a role we need him to play. I mean,
I mentioned that a little bit. When we spoke about it on, what was that, Tuesday? Well, Monday. When we spoke about it on Monday, where I brought up the fact that he said he did not want to leave in terms of being traded. He wants those minutes as well that he gets there. He'll get the minutes here, but it's more, as you pointed out, a focus with him there than it would be here. Because this would be a perfect opportunity for him to, if he wanted to win, right, Brian? But if he doesn't, he doesn't. And do you want that in your locker room? Would not be my first choice, but I'm not upset at the choice. I would just hope that he's into it if that became as something that they came close to getting. Now, I don't know how you felt about the Jordan Clarkson thing, but you look at what happened with Utah. Whether it was a coincidence or not, he helped turn things around in Utah when they needed a spark, and he helped do that.
Oh, I cannot stand Jordan Clarkson.
Oh, yeah, I was a big guy. Out of Iowa. That was my guy. That was my guy. Always has, man. Always has.
Hey,
we agree on a lot. It's okay for us to disagree on something.
He's definitely a microwave guy.
Yeah, and all I'm saying with that is, outside of Josh Richardson, you don't have that.
This is true.
When you need a bucket, we can say what we want about Tobias Harris. We can say what we want about Ben Simmons and Josh Richardson. When you need somebody who can just flat out say, I don't care if I'm passing to anybody else, go get me 10 straight, they don't have that.
Yeah, this is true.
Maybe you would feel different if the team had a different culture about it to say, you know what, you can absorb somebody who can do that and still not take you out of what you need to do.
Okay, but that guy at least has to be doing it from three-point land. Whereas Derek Rose
understood. Understood. Fair enough.
So, but I think really let's just stand pat. This team is built for the playoffs. Let's get everybody healthy at the same time and see what goes on in the playoffs. If they fail, then clearly Brett Brown's head is going to be on the chopping block. And
he's gone.
75% of your callers will be happy with that, and then you see what another...
So you don't want them to do anything at the deadline or buyout?
Well, no, because we don't have anything to trade.
Yeah, but if he could work magic, is there anything that you would... a preference? Do you have a preference?
I do not want to see them give up on the few little bit of future assets they have.
The draft picks.
No, I'm talking about Zaire Smith. I don't really want to get into it. See, I know you got your...
No. It's not even that. Honestly, it's not that.
But he's... Well, I don't know. He's the... You know, Lance talked about Richardson's contract being up in 2 years. That's when we need this project to step up and play that Josh Richardson role. Hopefully after we've had two really good years, maybe, two parades and Josh Richardson gets paid somewhere else. That's where we need him to be able to step up and slot in to guard the other team's guards and knock down threes. And
you have more faith in their development, I guess, than I do after
the guy was a project when they drafted him. He lost an entire year to...
Yeah.
Crazy situation. So, he lost a whole year to that. So, and I think it's best that he's, I don't know what he's doing in the G League, but it's best that he needs to just get reps playing guard against professionals and to make the most of that. Now, if you're kind of hinting to me that he's not taking that seriously or he's not putting in his work, then that's a major problem.
No, he is taking it seriously. It's just that right now it just doesn't look very good. Now, as you said, hey, man, listen, thanks for the call. You know we can do this all night. I'll talk to you soon. I just liked him in college. Wasn't that high on him as a pro prospect. And especially on a team that, yeah, sure, you can develop people and do all of that. You still have time to develop people. You could use it as help now. And when we're talking about going out there getting other stuff, you're going out there and get other stuff, and you wish that you had something waiting in the wings to do that. He cannot do any of that. 610-632-0975. Chris and Kenny, we'll get to you guys when we get back. Josh Rabick is producing. I'm Devon Givens. Sixers fall tonight to the Raptors. Their 15th consecutive loss to the Raptors, 107-95. We'll talk about it when we get back here in the post on the Fanatic.
The Fanatic.
Under 40%. Rondé guarded by Furkan. Korkmaz has got three fouls. Off to Van Fleet for three. It's up. It's good. A deep three by Freddie Van Fleet. 52 seconds to go, and the crowd is going crazy here in Toronto.
Hey, man, that guy found it late. He was a problem for the Sixers. He helped close things out for the Raptors for their 15th consecutive win over the 76ers. 610-632-0975 in the post. Devon Givens, Josh Rabick producing. We're here until midnight. Once again, 610-632-0975. Let's go keep it moving on the phones as we go to Chris in Williamstown next in the post. Hey, Chris.
Devon, tonight was a lot to be frustrated about because after last year, you had this team with Kawhi Leonard going down to game 7 and pretty much being a flip toss away from going to overtime. And then you have a game like tonight where you tell me, oh, well, the defense should step up for the lack of offense. Let me tell you something. I would take Robert Covington before I would ever indulge the idea of bringing that head case that is Derrick Rose to this team. I would have rather you try to go get Carmelo at the beginning of the year before I'd ever entertain the idea of Derrick Rose. please. I'm sorry. I know he shows flashes, but at some point, that old man is going to break down. I'm not willing to sit here and say, okay, we'll bring you on this. No, this team's best chance to win was last year when they had Jimmy Butler, when they had J.J. Redick, when they had shooters. Even though they weren't defensively efficient, you knew that it was like a shootout in football where you were going to go touchdown for touchdown the whole way, and there was going to be no defense played. Well, see, now we've sat there and said, okay, well, we know defense is a problem, so we're going to try and stop you from scoring and keep it to a 99-95 game. It's just not happening because there's so many breakdowns. Like, I knew it was bad when Dario Saric said they weren't talking. Like, at times this team doesn't look like it could play offense or defense without the ball in their hands, if you understand where I'm going with that. Like,
yeah,
they just don't look fundamentally sound on that floor. Tonight was very indicative of that. And Al Horford shooting this many threes, I don't think I've seen Al Horford shoot this many threes in his lowest 2 years as a part of the Boston Celtics. So that, for me, is an indication that Brett Brown is, again, it doesn't matter who it is, Josh Richardson, you want to throw Al Horford into it, go Jimmy Butler, J.J. Redick. I mean, the list goes on of pieces that have been here at Philly that he's tried to make into round holes that may have been square pegs.
Yeah,
I'm sick and tired of it, man.
I hear you, man. Wow, you're way more frustrated than I am, Chris, after tonight, man. Thanks for the call. Way more frustrated than I am. I mean, listen, it's a... And you look at it and you're like, oh, man, come on. You had a 14-point lead in the first. Opportunities late in the game to really get things going, and they did not. But they were down Josh Richardson, no Joel Embiid. I wasn't going to, once again, go too crazy after tonight's loss. Frustrating things. You still don't like to see Ben Simmons with eight, right? Turnovers. Again, you don't want to see that. But, I mean, hey, all right, how do you rebound? How do you respond? How do you respond on Saturday against the Los Angeles Lakers when they come into town? 610-632-0975. I mean, they have to be better. They do have to be better. No question about it. No question about it. They have a hard time winning in Toronto. Kenny and Ambler next in the post. What's up, Ken?
Yo, Devon. What's happening, bro?
What's happening, man?
Listen, bro, I'm going to let all y'all know, don't get your hopes up, because this team is not going to go as far as we went last year. Just might as well just get
Game
a box
seven,
of tissues.
Huh?
Just might as well get a box of tissues for Joel now, because we ain't doing it, man. We got no heart. This team is gutless. Absolutely gutless, man. I mean, everybody got all amped up with these games we won. Ben did look good. And it seemed like the flow was much better, actually, without Embiid slowing everything up. But we just ain't got it. We can't put nothing away. Came out looking great, firing on all cylinders. Then halftime, I don't remember how to play anymore. I mean, who's that fall on? Because I don't understand how these guys just every single time, if they start out good, second half come, they don't remember what they did in the first half. Every time. So does that fall on Brett, or does that fall on our general manager for putting these pieces together?
I think it will fall on both, to be honest with you.
I'm going to ask you a question. You a Seinfeld kind of guy, right?
Yeah.
You remember the episode where Jerry's father wanted the puppet regime to try to take over in Del Boca Vista?
With Kramer?
Right.
Yes.
That's what I think we got going right now, and Kramer is Elton Brand right now.
Brett is really running things?
I
don't think he's really running
things. Why? How do you figure that Elton was coaching the D League, now you're a general manager?
No, he was the general manager in the G League.
He was?
Yes.
Wow.
For the Bluecoats, he was the general manager for the G League two years.
He should have stayed there. Because this, I don't know. We got this talent, and
you didn't like the Jimmy Butler trade.
When we got Jimmy, I was happy.
That was Jimmy.
Jimmy got a pair.
That was Elton Brand.
Of these cats, right? But the rest of these cats that's here, None of them. They're gutless. You don't see no fight. None of these dudes, man. Who you want to go in the dark alley with on this squad? Mike, none of them cats.
Mike Scott.
Well, Mike Scott.
Josh.
Yeah, Mike
Josh
Scott might be the one. Josh Mike Scott might be the one at the other end of the alley, though. You know what I mean? The rest of these cats, they ain't got no heart, man.
Josh Richardson, I think, has heart.
I'd stand in the alley and fight with Josh.
Yes.
But the rest of these cats, they going to be scattering, man. They ain't going to be scattering.
Hey, man, listen, thanks for the call, Ken. It's always tough to gauge who has heart, who does not have heart. We've all done it as fans where we'll look at him and say, yeah, this dude has no heart. He's got no shot. But I understand where you're coming from, Ken. I really do. And we shall see. We shall see. There's plenty of game left. We'll really be focusing on the road trip that they have where they are in Atlanta, Boston, Miami, and Milwaukee. Tough. Tough right there after the two games at home, Lakers and the Golden State Warriors. So that we will keep our eye on that, and that is right in the middle of when things happen with the trade deadline. So 610-632-0975, final segment. Jules, you'll start things off when we get back. That's Josh Rabick producing the show. I'm Devon Givens. We're in the post following a Sixers loss tonight right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic.
Gasol quarterbacking their offense at 7 feet, 1 inch tall. 1 inch tall. He goes back door to Siakam and a jam. Boy, I was saying quarterback. I didn't think he was going to throw a touchdown pass. He did.
That's what he does. We've seen him before. Great work by them, of course, in their win over the Sixers tonight, 15th in a row in Canada, 107-95. But during the break, Josh Rabick and I, we were locked in on Zion action. Zion scored, 16 in the fourth quarter? Going off. Gas. Get that man something to drink. He banged, 4 threes? I think he had, 4 threes. Man. Slow, little slow, right? Slow to start. But he picked it up. And here he is.
And you correctly predicted his miss from the charity
strike.
But
I said he would miss both. He missed one of two because he's so tired. You could see it when I think Derek White came down the floor. They put him in the pick and roll action. They switched, got him off of LaMarcus Aldridge, and Derek Wright just went right by him layup. And you can just say, you know what that was. His feet were planted to the floor. He had nothing. He had nothing, but he had enough. You know how it is always. I got nothing on defense, but I give you everything on offense. And that's what he did. Knocking down a 24-footer from the number one overall pick, Zion Williamson. Good game, though. Good game. 610-632-0975. Man, he looked tired. They're going to keep rolling with him. They have four guards out there. Etwan Moore, Josh Hart, Frank Jackson, and Lonzo Ball, and Zion at center.
Jules. I had one.
Had a couple.
Yeah, he had a couple. Get him a couple of drinks while he's sitting on that bench, some Gatorade. Jules in D.C. next in the post. What's up, Jules?
Devon, you just made me feel even worse.
Why?
Man has more three-pointers in his first game
than Ben
than
Simmons.
My number one overall pick, man. When's the last time my point guard had 16 points in the fourth quarter, let alone the second half?
He went off the other day. He did do that the other day.
Against the Knicks, against the Nets. This just has to stop.
Yeah,
man.
Zion did it against the Spurs.
Man.
The Spurs aren't the Spurs.
But, I mean, come on, man. This is kid's first game. He's already out here being aggressive, putting the team on his back.
Well, he's ultra aggressive. We know that.
Bro, this Ben Simmons thing is horrible. We know it. I'm in D.C., and I watch every Sixers game. I've seen him 3 times live this year. This thing doesn't work. I mean, we are delusional, man. He is not a point guard. We blame everybody else except for him. Not to say there's no flow to the offense. We're taking too many threes. Whose fault is that? The point guard. Why can't the point guard control the flow of the game? When is he going direct track? When is he going to just step? There's no flow. There's no movement. There's no basket cuts. This offense is he comes up the floor with no pace, as fast as he can. Stop, turns around, just throws it to whoever. I mean, he's kicking it out to Thibault like he's Pager.
That's what they want him to do.
But I think that's all he can do, Devon. I just think the nepotism with this kid, I mean, the NBA coach coached your father. Your college coach was your godfather.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just frustrates the – I mean, he could go crazy in a free-flowing game. He's going to have big numbers in those games. Mm-hmm. But last year in the playoffs, when Jared Dudley called this kid mediocre in the half court, us as fans got defensive.
Because he's yours. Of course you're going to get defensive.
Yeah, but it was the truth.
Yeah, sometimes, but you don't want Jared Dudley saying it. You can say it, Jules, but nobody else can say it. You know how that go, right? Territorial.
I do. Trust me, I feel you. I feel you on that, bro. Trust me, I do. But this is just frustrating. It's going to be the same song again in April and May. I mean, we're going to see good teams and good coaches know how to counter our weaknesses on offense.
Yeah.
And that's what you're going to see in the playoffs. And, you know, again, this experiment, it just doesn't work. It doesn't work. The kid refuses to shoot the ball. Forget he can't shoot. He refuses to shoot. I'm not even talking threes. He's hit one shot.
No, I know what you mean. Yeah, I know what you mean. I know.
This is horrible, man.
I'm seeing it from Sixer people already on Twitter. Zion, I'm looking at my man DMay706 there, saying Zion has already made more threes than Ben Simmons. I know, man. Jules, I got you, man. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let me tell you guys about the Fanatic Deal of the Week for a limited time only. Get one all-area lift ticket to Spring Mountain Adventures, valid weekdays and weekends during the 2020 season for just $24. That's access to 8 trails, 6 lifts, and 2 terrain parks for 50% off. Check it out now at 97.5thefanatic.com. Keyword, deal. Let's go back to the phones. Get Amir in here next on the Fanatic in the Post. What's up, Amir?
Hey, Mr. Gibbons. How are you, sir?
How you doing, man? Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you, too, as well. But I get the Ben Simmons hate. I understand that part of it. But at the end of the day,
I get the Ben Simmons frustration.
Frustration. Yeah. But when you talk about $100 million, $100+ million, is Tobias, should he average 19-3-3, or should he average 24-6-3?
Yeah, I think his numbers should be a little bit higher. I agree with that. He played great in December, but I agree with you in terms of numbers should be a little bit higher. But it seems like everyone's number is down from top to bottom.
Even if you look at Jimmy Butler is 26-6-6. So I know they had to pay. But I feel like if you look at Giannis and you look at Ben, and you don't see Giannis shooting the ball that much. You see Giannis going to the rack. So if Ben goes to the rack every play, okay, cool. But he doesn't have the shooters that we have. So, Ben doesn't have the shooters that the Sixers have. So I feel like the Ben hate is misplaced, and Tobias should be giving us at least 24 to 26 points a game and 6 assists a game. I feel like the hate is misplaced, and we're paying Tobias too much to not score and not do what he's supposed to be doing for us at this particular point in time in the season.
Well, I think coming into the season, Mir, I said that I thought Tobias Harris should raise his number to 22, maybe 23.
I think that.
No, I totally agree with you. And I thought Ben should raise his from 17 to about 19. And Embiid should be right where he is at 27. And Horford gives you his typical 14, this 15, whatever it might be, because that's just who he is.
Right.
But everyone's number is down, where Ben is at 15, Tobias is back at 19, and Embiid is down to 23. And Al Horford is still at the number that he is, and Josh Richardson the same thing. But and I think that's just because of the flow of how everything is, the fact that they're passing the ball around, the way they do swing it. But then there are those nights where we see so many missed shots. We're like, dude, I mean, come on.
What's going on,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right.
So you're saying the talent is why Ben gets so much of the hate, and Tobias should just be like, okay, whatever.
Well, his comes with it simply because he signed at 180. So.
I got you. But Tobias is not much less than that.
No, that's what I mean. Tobias gets the hate because of the 180 that he signed.
He should get a whole lot of hate because he's not doing what we need him to do.
I hear you, man.
Thing at the end of the day. But I appreciate what you're doing, Mr. Gibbons, at the end of the day. Keep it up.
Mayor, good to hear from you, man. Have a great night, man. We'll talk soon. Thanks so much, man. Have a great night. Thanks so much to everyone. Josh Rabick, as always, thanks so much, man. Really appreciate it.
You got it, dude.
Thanks to Zion Williamson for making that last 20 minutes go by with the callers as well. Thanks to D-Line earlier and Kildare as we had a blast earlier this evening for the Sixers pregame show presented by Corona. So thanks to Kildare's and the great people there as we had a really fun time there at Kildare's with the great people, Dane. I really appreciate him and Stephanie for hosting us and the rest of the crew. That was fantastic. And Andrew Salchunas, the ground crew, the engineers, Tyler Zuli, Brian Seltzer, and Tom McGinnis. Thanks to everybody. I'll be back tomorrow with Joe Torti. We'll have 7 to midnight tomorrow together. So that'll be a blast. So have a great night. Be careful if you're still out there on the roads. And we'll talk to you tomorrow at 7 o'clock right here, 97.5 The Fanatic. Good night.